I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Robbie Robbie Weekly.
Little reverse pass.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 42 Rugby Weekly. We are going to look ahead to the province's games in the Champions Cup this weekend. It's Gavin Casey with you here. And before I introduce Kieran Kennedy of the 42, just to let you know, if you're still searching for a great Christmas present for a sports fan in your life, give them the gift of the 42 for just $39.99. They'll get unlimited access to every article and every podcast every day for a full year. All you'll need is the email address of the lucky person who will receive the gift. You can add a personalized message. You can also choose the date when the gift will land in their inbox. So there's no need for early surprises before Christmas Day. Just head to the 42.ie/subscribe. Kieran Kennedy, how the hell are you doing?
Very well, Gav. Had a little bit of a lie-in this morning after the Christmas party last night, but I think I got out of there at a reasonable hour, so I'm doing okay. Your voice is a little hoarse considering it was a silent disco, but ready to crack on.
I prefer not to speak. I had every intention of returning to Cork last night on a 1 o'clock bus home, and I am currently in Stillorgan, a little place called Stillorgan, if anybody's heard of it, so that didn't quite work out, but a good night, and it was great to see you. And let's just get through this. Nah, I'm looking forward to the chat. Like, four massive games, obviously. By the time this podcast comes out, Munster's kickoff against Cass will only be hours away. We'll start there, Kieran, but we can kind of keep it brief in the sense that people are already briefed on the teams. I'm just going to ask you straight out, what do you think of this game? Who actually takes it, to your mind?
I think Munster are going to do it. I quite like the team they're sending over. They pretty much had flagged last week when they named the team for Stade Francais that they were going to make quite a few changes for the second week, and they were kind of treating it as, you know, two different squads for two different games almost. So I was anticipating to see quite a few changes, and yeah, they've kind of just brought back in a mix of guys to freshen things up. Brian Gleeson is the one that jumps out to me. First Champions Cup start. We've obviously spoken about him on the pod before. Like, he's got so much potential. He's a guy we've been excited about for a few seasons. So to see him in a fairly experienced and settled Munster team in a good back row alongside Peter O'Mahony and John Hodnett is something I'm looking forward to seeing how he gets on. Tadhg Byrne coming back in as captain is another one that just kind of settled things. And we didn't really get a chance to speak about him as much on the Monday pod as we had maybe planned. But I've really liked Deon Bleuler since he's come in on the short term deal. He's just kind of got something about him, and there's a physicality to him, and his work rate is quite impressive watching him live. So yeah, it's a nice balance to that Munster team. There's guys there that are in form. They're bringing guys in fresh, and yeah, they've been good battles in Cast. I think this is going to be another one.
You've got some heavy artillery coming back in there in the shape of Ollie Jagger, Dave Kilcoyne, Thomas Ahern as well. Castra away, to my mind, for any province, but I would say especially Munster, it doesn't even resemble a rugby match when you tried to lay it out or map it out in your head. It's something altogether different and, to be honest, probably less conventionally entertaining. I'm wondering, do you think there's any chance of this game bucking the trend, or is this going to be another slog, arm wrestle, something quite disgusting but ultimately satisfying if you can come out of there with 4 or 5 points?
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it's something quite disgusting, to be honest. I feel like it's not right if these Munster Cast games aren't that bit of a slog and an arm wrestle. It's kind of what you tune in for, and you learn a bit about Munster from those games as well. Then, you know, it is a different type of challenge going down there and getting into that kind of scrap with Cast and seeing how they face it. And for guys like Brian Gleeson who are new to that, it's a good experience. So yeah, I don't really expect to be entertained in the form of, you know, passes being flung around the place and free-flowing rugby, but I expect to be entertained from just a bit of a dirty, proper scrapping Cast, which is the way it should be at this time of year, I think.
I can't argue with that. Leinster at home to Claremont at the Aviva Stadium this weekend. Jordy Barrett at 15, Kieran, is the one that stands out straight off the bat. Some interesting team news as well as far as Claremont are concerned, which I'm sure you'll get onto. But just to start with Leinster, what do you think of that? It's I'm stealing your stat here, or at least borrowing your work, but I think it's maybe like the first time in 46 games that Jordy Barrett has started a game at fullback.
Yeah. So, like, Barrett obviously played a lot of fullback when he was kind of younger and coming through, but it was kind of in the lead up to the 2023 World Cup where New Zealand moved him more towards midfield and started playing at inside centre. So this is his first start at fullback for club or country since November 2022. But still, most of his career has been a fullback. I was trying to work it out just before coming on here. I think he's played 90 professional games at fullback and 62 at centre. So he's not exactly lacking experience at fullback, but we have known him as a centre more recently. And even he was up for interview in Leinster earlier this week, and I thought he might be kind of vague on the prospect of where he's going to fit into this Leinster team, but he was pretty open and just said, look, I think I'm a 12 who can play a bit of fullback. He wasn't too keen on the idea of, you know, pitching up on the wing or anywhere else, but or even at outside centre. But I think we'll see him fill into some of those slots as the year progresses. I think that's kind of going to be Barrett's role a little bit. The opportunity to start him at fullback this week has obviously opened up through some of the injuries Leinster have. So Kieran Frawley's not available. Hugo Keenan's also not available. And Jamie Osborne. So it's kind of makes sense to just slot him in there. But it'll be interesting to see how it all works when all these guys are fit. You know, there'll be a Champions Cup game at some stage down the line where Keenan's back, Osborne's back, Ringrose and Henshaw are both fit to start centre, and somebody's not only going to not make the starting 15, but not make the match day 23 if all those guys are fit. But I'm looking forward to seeing him at fullback this weekend anyway. Like, he's got so many qualities that kind of work in his favour in that position. He's obviously so strong in the air, and his physicality, I was just even saying this to you last night, it was only sitting across from him in Leinster's training camp on Tuesday, you kind of really realise he's just a big unit for a guy who plays 12, and even comparing him to some of the Irish 12s here, he's a different kind of physicality. 6'4", big, powerful fella. And then he's got those kind of silky handling skills to go with that. So, look, he's a quality player. He's going to be the star attraction in this Leinster team, wherever he plays. It's interesting that we're seeing him at fullback at the start of his Leinster career. I don't know how much more we will see him there as the season progresses, but, yeah, he's definitely the one everybody's going to watch this weekend.
Yeah, he's got this unbelievable intelligence to him. I know it's said of him quite often, but just having played every position in the back line outside of scrum half, like he started one game at out half for the All Blacks, it was a bit of an incongruity. But having played a lot at centre, having done a little bit on the wing as well, it seems as though he's done a lot of that to help the team, yes, but also to just bolster his own interpretation of the game and how he actually is able to slot in and influence it in various ways. And that's where I'm sort of excited to see him at fullback in this Leinster team, because it's a slightly different role to what we saw last week. But equally, there is that opportunity for him to be a second playmaker or a first receiver and sort of get into the mix that way. And we saw that tandem between himself and Sam Prendergast at 10-12 last week. I'm really excited to see that same tandem, but in a slightly different shape in terms of 10-15. Let me put you on the spot, if you don't mind, and say, in the event that all of those aforementioned players are fit, what is, so I think Jordy Barrett is a 12, like by his own account, he's a 12. And I think if we were playing Football Manager and every single one of your players was fit in Imagination Land, I think Jordy Barrett plays a 12 in this Leinster team. But like, does that mean then that Gary Ringrose drops out? Like, is there a chance, I asked this of James Tracy as well on Wednesday's subscriber spot, is there a chance that you see Ringrose on the wing as a bit more of an indefinite fixture this time around, as opposed to in makeshift situations? How do you think that actually shapes up?
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility, because like, I think like Barrett has to start. You know, he's there to make a difference in this Leinster team, and he's too good to be, you know, leaving him on the bench to do what he did last week and come in, like if somebody gets struck down with injury and kind of fill a hole. I think you need him in from the start. I think he's going in at 12. And if that happens, I think you're right. I think it's Henshaw 13 at the moment, and Ringrose is maybe moving on to the wing, because those wing positions are maybe the one area where that Leinster backline doesn't have, you know, nailed on regular Ireland internationals. You've obviously got James Lowe, but then there's a bit of a rotating cast. Like, it's Liam Turner this weekend, and, you know, what a great opportunity for him. But otherwise, it could be Jordan Larmour, it could be Jimmy O'Brien. You know, those, that it does kind of change a little bit. There's not somebody who's really nailed down that spot. But I also wouldn't, you know, guarantee that they would be happy enough to just start playing Gary Ringrose on the wing. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts some of these big Champions Cup games on the bench, which is almost unthinkable, because, you know, he could be a starting Ireland 13 in the Six Nations. But Barrett, it is going to complicate things when these guys are fit. But I think the hard decision is what you do with everybody else. I think the easy decision is Barrett goes to 12 and you work from there.
I want to ask you about Clermont's situation at out half in particular, but just to give people a little bit of context, they're only sort of tuning into the rugby discourse on a Friday ahead of this game. Like, it's a pretty serious game. Like, this could be a tasty enough little encounter. Clermont are third in the top 14 at the moment. They're coming in off the back of four very big wins, important wins, and big in terms of margin in the cases of a couple of them. Like, they beat Bordeaux 32-27 at home about a month ago now. Then they won 30-22 away to Lyon. They hockeyed Castres and 54-10. That's the way Castres sort of turn up these days. They won all of their home games in the top 14 and lost all of their away games, and including Europe as well. We might get onto that. They also goose-egged Benetton in their Champions Cup opener last weekend, 28-0 for a bonus point to top the pool at the moment. Good team. Like, people were sort of recalling them getting to a Challenge Cup final that they probably should have won. Classic feckin' Clermont. They just couldn't quite get it done in a final. But like, they're pitching up here looking to win the game, I think. And I know that sounds sort of like obvious, or it should be normal, but it's just really not the case because of how good Leinster are, typically speaking. What do you make of them as a challenge, firstly, before I ask you about that big selection call that they've made at 10?
Yeah, they're definitely a challenge. They play good rugby, and it's interesting. Like, you think of the Stade Francais team that came over to Munster last weekend, and straight away you look at the team and you're thinking, right, this is a bit of a shame. They're not sending a full strength team. It kind of takes away from the whole occasion. I've got the opposite sense from Clermont this week. There seems to be a bit of frustration on their part that they've got a couple of injuries and they can't send over the starting 15 or the 23 that they'd like to, because they do seem to be taking this competition seriously, and they do want to come over here and pitch up and put in a performance. They have been going well in the top 14, and like those results that you mentioned, they've got a bit of momentum coming into this game. They were impressive last week against Benetton. They've changed seven from that. And yeah, the big one is at out half. So a lot of people listening will know Ire Simone, but for anybody who's not overly familiar with him, he came through at the Waratahs, and then he spent four seasons with the Brumbies before coming to Clermont in 2022. He plays most of his rugby at inside centre. He's played a little bit at outside centre, but he's starting at 10 tomorrow against Leinster in the Aviva Stadium. His first start at out half in his professional career. I understand it's something that they've been looking at for a little while, definitely earlier this season, maybe even towards the end of last season, but he's had a couple of injuries that basically put the experiment on the back burner. But yeah, they've commented this weekend, and like, what an opportunity for him. What a massive selection call. It kind of took me by surprise when I first saw it, because I just saw Simone. I couldn't see the first name, and I was wondering, is it somebody I didn't know? Is this some young fella coming through at Clermont? But he's a good player. He's kind of got that bit of physicality about him too. He can make a line break. Like, he'll take the ball to the line. There's a bit about him. So yeah, fascinating to see what he's going to deliver tomorrow, because I don't really know what to expect.
He can make a line break. He can also make a Lions tour, I'd wager, Kieran, because the Wallabies depth at 10 is pretty light at the moment behind Noah Lola-Sayre. This guy, if he produces at the Aviva, honestly, we've seen it quite often where a player's trajectory can just take off. It just takes one good performance, and there is no tougher game in club rugby, really, or there are very few than this one for Clermont on Saturday. So it's like, show up there and suddenly you're in Joe Schmidt's plans. He has two caps for the Wallabies already, but I think it's been about 4 years since he was last capped. So a really interesting opportunity for him, and interesting game. Need I ask you how you see it going? Maybe give me some sort of a margin as it makes sense in your head.
If Clermont pitch up and make a good battle of it, it'll be Leinster by 10. The fear would be that Leinster kind of do what they did against Bristol last week and just overpower them in the second half with that power they've got on the bench. There's, like, you've got Jack Conan and Orgy Snyman coming in at some stage in the second half against tired bodies. Real, you know, difference makers coming in to finish the game. And again, it's any of these Champions Cup games and Leinster select a team like this, there's always the fear that they just hit the ground running and it becomes a bit of a non-event, because there's so much quality there and they can rack up big scores against anybody really at this stage of the competition. I do like this Clermont team. Hope they can come and make a good contest of it tomorrow, but I'd be surprised if it was anything tighter than 10 points really for Leinster. I think they've just got too much strength and depth across the whole squad tomorrow.
Ulster also at home to French opposition against the aforementioned Bordeaux-Bègles. Obviously got a bit of a tonking down in Toulouse last weekend. This is a massive game for Ulster. I mean, just win your home games and you're pretty much through. It's a tall order, mind you. And even the bookmakers, I think, have Ulster at about, is it like 9-2 or something like that? So that sort of puts into context the challenge facing them. Team news wise, Kieran, first start for Zach Ward, which is just an amazing story. I'm really looking forward to seeing how he goes and seeing how his story continues over the course of the season. Arguably, the more headline grabbing piece of information actually comes from the Bordeaux team. Will you fill people in?
Yeah, it's great. Joey Carberry is starting at 10, so he hasn't actually had as much rugby as he'd like this season, as I'm sure most of the listeners will be aware of. So this is only his fourth start for Bordeaux since joining over the summer. And it's only his third start, actually, even at out half, because he had one of those games at fullback. But yeah, he's in the starting team coming to Belfast tomorrow. And, you know, he'll obviously be so keen to just deliver a big performance coming back to Ireland and show people what he's still about, I guess. And he's in a really talented Bordeaux team. Like they're just, when they hit the kind of heights that they hit last season in this competition, they're the best watch maybe in the competition, you know, and they've got a lot of those kind of just absolute superstars of the game coming to Belfast tomorrow. Damien Penno is starting on one wing. You got Louis Bielbiere at fullback, who's probably the most exciting young player anywhere playing rugby at the minute. He's just an absolute joy to watch. So it's a massive challenge for Ulster, but it's a game they've obviously targeted. They rested so many guys for Toulouse last week, and I mean, it just didn't work out in their favour at all. Maybe if they got a losing bonus point there, you can kind of point to some kind of sense and reasoning behind the decision. But unfortunately, they didn't get that losing bonus point. They shipped 61 points, 9 tries. It was just a horrible day, but this was always the plan, to bring all the frontliners back. And like, Richie Murphy has fully changed his pack for this game. 7 Ireland internationals coming in. But there's a pressure on them based on that performance last week, and the fact that we all knew they were targeting this game. They're the ones now who've got to, you know, turn it around, deliver something much better than we saw last week, and put it up to a Bordeaux team who are just like, they're so full of threats. They're so dangerous. They have a taste for this competition. They want to win this competition. They think they can win this competition. They're sending over a serious squad, and they're coming to Belfast looking to do the damage. I think it's a really, really challenging game for Ulster, even with all those internationals coming back into it.
Yeah, chatting to James Tracy on Wednesday, he fancies Ulster strongly in this game, and I just do not see it. I said it to him at the time, and I hope I'm wrong. Like, I hope James Tracy joins us next Wednesday with a shit-eating grin on his face, because he got it spot on last weekend with his predictions. But I just think this is a step too far for where Ulster are at the moment. We will see. It's sort of a must-win kind of a game, and you never know. It's Ravenhill, and it's a Champions Cup game. So let's see how it goes. Really exciting game. Connacht then again against French opposition, excuse me. This is at 1 o'clock on Sunday. They're away to Perpignan, who salvaged a draw away to the Cheetahs in Amsterdam, the South African Amsterdam last weekend. Last gasp kick to get a share of the spoils there. And I was saying during the week on the subscriber spot, like, I'm not really sure what to make of that decision. Does that mean that Perpignan saw the value in getting an extra point in the pool table? Or was it just like, let's get the hell out of here. Like, what are we doing? So it's sort of difficult to gauge because they have their own battles going on in the top 14. We sort of have a better idea, I think, of where Connacht are at the moment. It's great to see Che Mullins back in again after his hat-trick last weekend. What do you make of that Connacht 23, Kieran, to begin with?
Pretty exciting, isn't it? And it's a strong 23 on paper. I feel this is a big opportunity for Connacht, really. As he's touched on there, like, Perpignan, they've got enough to worry about in the top 14 at the moment. It's not going very well for them. They've lost 7 from their opening 11 games, so they are 11th, I think, in the table. They've kind of kept a few lads in reserve for this, with the top 14 in mind, I think. Whereas you look at that Connacht team, and what jumps out to me is the speed in the back line. You mentioned Shane Mullins. You've got Andrew Smith on the other wing. Like, they are two flyers with ball in hand. I kind of like the decision to put them on both wings and move Cordero back to fullback. There's a lot of talent in that Connacht team, and on paper it looks, I think they look good enough to go over and get the job done in Perpignan. Matthew Devine is another one at coming in at scrum half. Great to see him get his first start of the season. You know, he had that strong run towards the end of last season and kind of glimpses of the potential that we know he has. Love to see him kick on and build on it this year. There's a few scrum halves at Connacht in decent form looking for that jersey this year. So, he'll need to impress if he wants to keep getting minutes. Yeah, it's a good Connacht team. I kind of fancied him to do it. What do you reckon?
I tell you what, if they do it without Mark Hansen, without Bundiaki and without Finlay Beelan, that would be a serious statement by this group of players, because I do find that when they're missing those talismanic kind of figures, particularly if they're missing a couple of them, like, they just don't tend to play as well. I mean, it's pretty basic, you know. But if they were able to mitigate against those losses and sort of go there with a youngish, fresh-looking squad and turn Perpignan over, I think it's like full steam ahead for the rest of the season, honestly. Like, I think it's a bit of a hinge game for their campaign. And you just to mention as well, tangentially, they've got a 6-2 split, so like on the bench. So it's kind of an interesting one where obviously Pete Wilkins feels as though they can either hang in there or actually build an advantage and then hit the pedal for home. So, sorry, you're coming back in there.
That's one of the exciting things about it, actually, because when you consider they're coming off a win last weekend, when I saw that the Ireland internationals weren't back in this week, straight away I was like, okay, well, we're going to see Bundy, Finlay Beelan and Mac Hansen come in for Leinster next weekend at the Aviva. So, you know, you go 2-2 in the Challenge Cup, you bring your Ireland internationals back in for a game against Leinster in Dublin, and suddenly there's a bit of momentum behind this whole thing again. Everyone's feeling good about themselves, and you'd love to see them rocking up confident to Leinster next weekend. We spoke about it when we were kind of previewing the opening weekend last Friday. Like, I always feel the Challenge Cup could be such an opportunity for Connacht. If they can start to get up and running in this thing, get a bit of a win behind their sails, and do it without having needed the Ireland lads yet, do it by having some new faces, some young guys kind of getting the whole thing up and running, it would be just such a lift for the whole thing going into the Christmas period, which is so often so challenging for them. So yeah, I hope they can do it, because I think it would set them up really nicely for test and couple of interpros then over Christmas.
So would you be so bold as to predict 3 Irish victories this weekend, Ciarán?
I would be so bold. I'll do it. Yeah, I'll go for 3. I wouldn't be shocked if Ulster beat Bordeaux tomorrow. I should make that clear, but I just think Bordeaux are too strong for them. But I think there's an opportunity definitely there for Connacht and Munster to go away from home and win. And yeah, you just can't back against Leinster at home, really, can you? So yeah, some good games to look ahead to. Looking forward to it.
I would be astonished if Ulster beat Bordeaux, personally. I just do not see it. And it sounds like I'm being unbelievably harsh on Ulster. It's really not that. I just think Bordeaux are serious. I think that Harlequin semi-final quarter-final last season was an anomaly. You're missing Jalabert. I think they were missing Penno as well that day. That game didn't make sense. That'll happen once every 5 or 6 years to a team randomly. I just don't think it happens again. I think they're a semi-final, a final team, and I think they're going to look to show that. I really hope I'm wrong, though, because with all of that being said, if Ulster can somehow get it done, all we've just said about Connacht applies to Ulster equally. Like, it's a massive statement if you can pull this off. Like, it would be among the biggest shocks possible in the competition over the course of this weekend. So here's hoping. Listen, we could come back on Monday. We might have 4-4. Who knows? We leave it there for now and, I don't know, head to the fridge for some Lucozade.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. Hopefully you're back in Cork by Monday.
Please God. No, seriously, please God. Thanks everyone at home for all of your continued support. The42.ie/subscribe if you want to avail of that special offer, that gift offer, $39.99. And we'll leave it there. Back Monday for subscribers. Catch you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. Take it easy.
The boys in a better land. You're always talking about the boys in a better land. The boys in a better land. Driver's got names for 2 double barrels.